and the verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law, what readest thou? If you're a lawyer, you ought to know what the word says. So what do you read in the Bible? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, verse 27, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, the Lord speaking to this lawyer, This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? He said, I won't be just good to anybody. Who have I got to be? And Jesus answering said, here's the text, don't miss this. And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, Woo! Amen. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves. And the lawyer said, and he said, He that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Father, we pray today that you'd anoint us, empower us, and bring to mind everything you'd have us to say. God, help us to be obedient to you. Thank you, dear God, for the word of God, for the power of the Holy Ghost, for the scriptures, for the atmosphere that you've put in this place. Father, we pray today, God, that you'd help us to preach this word as you'd have us to preach. Be a vessel for your use, clay in your hands as the potter. We'll love you and thank you for all that you accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If the Lord would help us for a little while, I'd like to begin to look today and, Lord willing, tonight on some things that you find in an inn. I want to say you find relief in the inn. You find that in our text. You find in Exodus there's removal in an inn. In Genesis, Lord willing, tonight we'll see you find riches or treasures in the inn. Brother Ken talking about. You find, thank God, the Savior in the inn. How, behind it in Luke chapter 2. But I want to look at our text today. I want to find some relief in the inn. It seemed like that we've come to a place in 2019 is wrapping up. And what I see among God's children is many of them are beat down and beat up and bruised. On the other hand, they're blessed by God at the same time. And I find in the end some things that I believe as a church that we are to have in a local church. Notice the Bible, notice the context of this inn in Luke chapter 10. Jesus in verse 30 is answering this lawyer, and he said there was a certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. I thought about Jonah, Brother Jared, as he went down, went away from God, and went down to Tarsus and went down in the ship. And every time that you begin to go away from Jerusalem, the city of God, the place of God's blessings, and you go away from the temple of God, from the things of God, and go down to the city of sin, Jericho, you're always going going down. Notice the path. That it's a downward path. There is a downward path or a downwardness of sin. In fact, geographically, Jericho was 600 feet below sea level, and Jerusalem was 2,500 feet above sea level. Geographically, it was down, but it was more than just geographically. It was in God's kingdom, it was down. Have you ever started going away from God, getting away from where the temple of God is, getting away from the blessings of God? You think that you've got the world by the tail, but you find in these verses, you see a man who's tore up. He has went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And notice this word here. It jumped out to me again this morning. It said that he fell among thieves. It didn't say he jumped in air. It didn't say that he volunteered. It said that he fell. The idea with that word is he fell into a trap. He fell. His condition was there was a sorry crowd that he was going to fall among, but there was a sorry condition. He fell. He didn't mean to, brother, but he went further. He went away from God the worse he got. You see, these miles from Jerusalem to Jericho was about 15 to 20 miles, and you had to go through treacherous places. You had to go through wilderness. You had to go through some ravines, and thieves would come, and they would rob the travelers. It was not a secret. It was known. And here's the sad thing, that sitting in the church crowd today is people who have this mindset, if I can get out from under some authority, or get away from mom and dad, or get to a place where I can rule my own life, I'm going to go my own path, and I can handle it, and I'm smart enough, and I know about this path, but it's not going to get me. Sin's not going to grab me. I know what I'm doing. I'm trying to provide for myself, and the Bible says that he fell among thieves. Notice what sin will do. It detained him. He fell. He was trapped, but it began to destroy him. It deprived him. His Bible said it stripped him of his raiment. As soon as I saw that word stripped, I thought about Samson. Samson had an eye problem. I mean, he had a woman problem, but he had an eye problem. He saw a harlot. He saw a woman of Timnath. Everything he lived his life according to what he could see and not the unseen. It's a sad day when a Christian who's supposed to be a warrior for God lives their life off of what they want and the things that they can see. I want to live off of what I can't see. Hey, man, things that you can see are temporal, but things which you can't see are eternal. And Samson was the strongest man who ever lived, and yet the strong became weak when he continued to lay his head into the lap of Delilah, or the lap of deception, or the lap, amen, of the devil. And he continued, not one time, two times, three times, but four times. I mean, he got away with it three times. And somebody may be sitting in our midst today, and you say, well, I got away with it once, and I get away with it twice, and I'll get away with it. Hey, he got away with it a bunch of times. Just because you're getting away with it does not mean God says it's okay. It does not mean you're going to keep getting away with it. God is long-suffering, and he kept doing what he shouldn't do until finally he lost his strength. And then when that wicked crowd came on him, he went out to shake himself as he did at other times, and he wished not that the Spirit of God was gone, and they stripped him and they blinded him. You see, sin will always wine you and dine you. Hey, but it also strip you and blind you. And here this boy is, he's got a sack full of money, and he's on his way to Sin City, and he's leaving the people of God, and he's leaving the city of God. It's called the Holy City, and he's going down to Jericho, where all sorts of sin is. is. And he thinks he can handle it. But he didn't even get there, Brother Tony. He didn't even get to the place that he was headed, and he already fell among thieves. I'm going to tell you, this world, they act like your friend. But that crowd, they will leave you half dead. Oh, it'll deprive you. Amen. The downwardness of sin, the depriving deceitfulness of sin. Oh, but look at the deadliness of sin. The Bible says he left him tore up. Said he stripped him and departed, leaving him half dead. I don't know what all they did to him, Brother Jared, but they did a bunch. They tore him up. Sin tore him up. And then all of a sudden, here comes some religious crowd. Now, according to what I've studied, there was about 12,000 priests and Levites in Jerusalem that would make this journey. And that now the law dictated that they couldn't touch anything dead or it defiled them. You see, the law has never been given to save men. The law's always been given to show men. It was our schoolmaster. Amen. It's a shadow of the substance. And the law's always been given to show men that they can never live up to God's standard. That the only one that can live God's standard is Jesus. And what we couldn't do and what the law couldn't do, and that it was weak in the flesh, God sent his own Son. Thank God. And in the power of the Spirit, he fulfilled everything in the law. And how, hey, amen. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the law wasn't given to save you. It was given to shut you up. Amen. The law was given to shut every man up. No man can stand before God and say, hey, look at all that I've done. Look at all they'll try. And God will shut them up when he opens the books. Amen. The law was given that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world become guilty before God. There's none good. There's none that understands. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone astray. They've all turned to their own way. That's what the law says. The law says you do it and you can live. But the law says I can't do it. I can't live up to it. Thank God for grace. Grace answered, amen, on the law. Thank God brought me before the court. Amen. Grace said, I'll step up. Amen. I've got an answer for him. Woo! There's somebody that'll die in his place. There's somebody that has lived in his place. And there's somebody, thank God, that suffered for him, took his judgment, took his pain. It ain't in the religious priest that we'll see it. Oh, there's religion can't do nothing for you. You see, religion couldn't do nothing for them. 12,000 priests. I don't know. We only find that there's one in the text. There's sin that tore him up. And then they are here, these people that come. Sanctuary attendants. Levites and priests. They've come by where he is. Some of them have looked and kept on walking. Some of them walked over to him. Kept on walking. Isn't it amazing that religion always passes people up? Here's what religion does. Religion says, let's see, I'm aware of the problem, but my job is to avoid the problem. See, that's what religion does. Religion says, hey, I'm aware of the problem with that man. I know that he's half dead. He ain't all the way dead yet. My God, why don't you go over and help him? Oh, religion says, I can't. I'll defile myself. I can't. I can't do what I need to do. I'm busy. Hey, I can't bother myself with it. And that's what people will do. Hey, remember people out here in this world. Oh, my. Hey, but can you imagine? Here this crowd says, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to defile myself. It's not my problem. He made his bed, let him lay in it. I don't want to get it. Hey, they a bunch of dope heads. Hey, they a bunch of dope, they a bunch of drunks. They laid over in that ditch. They knew what they was doing when they left Jerusalem. They'd been taught right. He knew better. Why did he go this way? And they just passed him up as if he was not matter, did not matter to them. As if he was not worth fooling with. But ain't you glad the Bible says, amen. There was another that went by. Amen. And he was, I like what it says. Says he was a Samaritan. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all look up here at your preacher. This story is so significant in the Bible and in our society that the people who do things like the blessed, we're blessed with Brother Linder doing on Monday nights, they're called Samaritan purses. As people do that all over the world because it is a symbolic picture, amen, of charity, of compassion, of meeting the needs. I'm about to have a running fit, amen, of somebody else. Who is this good Samaritan? I'll tell you who he is. It's a picture of the Lord. The Bible says, amen, that when they saw him, that by chance the priest came down, and by chance a Levite came down, because it said, and likewise. And so by chance the Levite came, couldn't do nothing, and by chance the priest come by, couldn't do it. But that ain't what it says about the Samaritan. The Samaritan had started journey, hey, a man with a goal in mind. That Samaritan left where he was to go where that man was. Woo! Amen. Bible said that he came where he was. It's like he had a GPS system, and he wasn't going to get sidetracked, and he wasn't going to get detoured. And the Bible says that he came where he was. I say amen. Notice the Bible calls him a Samaritan. Why? Because Samaritans were scorned by people. Hey, they wouldn't receive by many. Didn't the Bible not say he came into his own and his own received him not? Did the Bible not say he was despised and rejected of men? Oh, I'm telling you, that was the Lord. As a picture of the Lord, the Lord is telling that ruler, hey, listen up, I'm giving you the gospel message. I'm trying to share with you, hallelujah, how what the gospel's like, but he ain't getting it. He's not getting it, friend. And I'm afraid people in our day, they ain't getting it. He's a scorned man. He's a Samaritan, but I'm glad he's a seeking man. Bible said he came where he was. Bible said he came where he was on the same side of the road, but that ain't where he stopped. He didn't just get him. He just didn't get close enough to look at him. He just didn't get close enough over where he was. Keep on walking. I don't know. The Bible says he had compassion on him. Hey, hallelujah. He had compassion, Brother Jared. Woo! I say amen. Amen. He's a seeking man. Amen. He's a saving man. He's a sacrificing man. He saw him in the mess that he was in. And the Bible said he got over there in that ditch. He got down in the ditch with him. You know what? Hey, you know what them crowds do? Those who base their work for the Lord on this text, you know what they do? They go where the need's at. If it's Harris, Henrietta, hey man, or if it's a dark part of Africa, because what did Jesus do? He went where the need was. Amen. What did he do when he came to your pew? He went where the need was. Amen. What did he do when he came down there and you had all that sin on you and you're so corrupt and vile and everybody said there ain't no hope for him, there ain't no help for him, they too far gone? Hey, what did he do? I'm glad he got down in the ditch with you. I'm glad he got down in the ditch with you. And you know what he did? He poured out the wine bottle. Did we not just take the Lord's Supper Wednesday? Amen. He said, this symbolic of my blood, which is shed for you. I'm glad, thank God, what disinfected him, what cleansed him, what healed up his wounds. Woo! What started the healing process, how he washed the dirt out and washed the filth out. It was the blood. Ain't you glad he came to your ditch, got down in your mess, and washed you in his blood? Hey, washed us from our sins and made us white as snow. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I say, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Or say, how'd you get clean? Not from silver and gold, not from vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. I say, hallelujah. But then, brother, woo! It wasn't just some blood, wine blood. It was some oil. Hey, man, you know what oil does? It starts comforting. You know what oil does? It starts soothing him. Hey, you know what oil does? Hey, it's a result of what happens after the life juice has been squeezed out. You see, in the Garden of Gethsemane, hey man, his blood began to ooze out his pores. Hey, at the scourging pole, hey, in the Gabbatha, when they beat his head, knocked him 2 to 3 inch thorns in his head, I began to hit him in the face, his blood. And then, if that wasn't enough, pierced his hands and feet, pierced his side, and every bit of blood he had, and the water sac ruptured around his heart, and out came blood and water, and he shed every drop for me, not just one drop, amen, every drop for me, hallelujah, amen. Hey, and then, hey, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's in there right now, and that's where the garden where the olive trees are, and there's an olive press, and you take those olives and put them in there, and you start grinding the life juice out of them, and then you catch it, and from that it's made olive oil. You see, hey, that's symbolic of the Holy Ghost. After the Lord had shed his blood and laid his life down and sent it back to heaven, he said there's going to be a comforter come. It's going to be the Holy Ghost, and as sure as I go, he'll come. You'll know I got back, because when I get back, the Holy Ghost will come. And he poured in the oil, and he started soothing, and it started comforting, and it started, are y'all listening to me? I'm telling you, that's what the Holy Ghost does. Then he put him on his own ass, took him to the end. Oh, now he's already got redemption in the side ditch. But damn, woo! But the Samaritan ain't gonna leave him in the ditch. Put him on his own ass. That don't make sense. According to Zechariah, only judges and kings get on asses. It's almost like he just got grafted in the family. This is fresh in from heaven. Never seen it before. Woo! I say amen. I say hallelujah. Here he come as royalty. Ain't it some? The Lord's serving him. He's a walking beside him. And that one just freshly redeemed is now riding like royalty. All the way to the house. Woo! To the end. And he gets him over. Thank you, Lord. That was good. Thank you. He gets over to the end. And brothers, what happens? He goes to the innkeeper. And he takes out. He says, he commissions him, first of all. He said, take care of him. You know what God does? In the end, you find relief in the end. He got redemption out yonder in the midst of where he was. When he couldn't go to the Lord, he had no power to save himself. Are y'all listening to this preacher? When religion couldn't do nothing for him, when the law couldn't do nothing for him, here come the Lord doing for him what he could not do for himself. Somebody help me. Woo! Amen. And then God put us on that old ass, that old donkey, and hey, we rode like royalty. He made us kings and priests. Revelation chapter 1, 5, 6, and 7. I say amen. We're going to rule with him one day. We're going to judge the anger. Are y'all listening to this? I say hallelujah. Oh, yes. And then he dropped him off. He said, I got to make a journey. But before I go, I'm going to put you in the care of an inn, otherwise known as a local church. Woo! That's what he did. He talked to the host, and the host is the one in charge. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Hey, hey, man. I say hallelujah. You find relief for the hurting in the end, y'all. You see, he got a commission. He says, take care of him. Notice what he said in verse 35. He said, take care of him. But now notice this. There's not only a commission. He's been commissioned by the Samaritan to take care. There's a capacity to take care of him. He said, here's the money to do it. The church will always have the means necessary to serve God. Brother Linder, I'm about to play a... I'm telling you, you just keep giving. Hey, man, and God will keep blessing. Am I right about that? Woo! You can't give it away quick enough. I'm telling you, God, here's 2 pence. It's more than enough. Hey, it's compassion and capacity. God's given us everything we need. Hey, amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for the picture of the church. I say hallelujah for the end. I find relief from this world. I find rest from this world. Woo! I find food, resources from this world in the end that God's dropped me off at. Woo! Where you're supposed to be is where your reservations are. Don't try to fit in somewhere else. Somebody. Hey, man. Woo! It ain't as big as a don't matter. God may use you to make it bigger. Y'all listen to this preacher. They don't have all the resources. Don't worry. They'll have more than enough to meet your needs. And by the way, he said there's going to be some compensation. He says there's some things you won't have what you need to take care of it. He said, so I want y'all to know that when I come back, I'm going to pay the bill off. See, some of us think we're sacrificing. Some of us think we're giving more than we're getting. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't serve God. Hey, God's not in debt to nobody. I'm telling you, friend, he's going to take care of us. Hey, man, there's a compassion. Hey, there's a commitment. Hey, look what he said. He said, when I come again, that's a compulsion. That say, hey, it compels me. The Lord's coming. Hey, the Samaritan is going to come back one day. I don't know if y'all believe this or not. Here's what I think. That old boy sitting over there, he's got his wounds. Hey, man, he's red stained. They cleaned out. Oil's in there. Comfort and healing. Brother Jared, he hears him leaving. And he gets a little nervous. Madman of Gadarenes got a little nervous. So the Lord bid me come with you. He said, no, go home and tell your friends what good things the Lord's done for you. And he went home in Decapolis, 10 cities in that region, and it made such a difference with that man's testimony that the next time Jesus comes by, hey, they're bringing out the sick and afflicted, and they had a citywide revival. Because of one boy said, I got to tell y'all what good things the Lord's done for me. Hey, I like what Brother Linder said. He didn't say, I've sent in a resume. I'm just going to let you know right now. All God's preachers are drafted. Somebody say amen. This ain't no volunteer. All God's Christians have been drafted. You couldn't get to him. God got to you. Hey, I guarantee you that boy wasn't going to turn down help. He done got to help us. Hell, one that could help him was the one who was there. And when you get to the place you're helpless, amen, the helper will show up and save your soul, wash you in his blood, put in the Holy Ghost, put you on royalty, write you, thank God, to the church and plant you right at the church and pay the debt so that all your needs will be met. And he's sitting over in the corner and he's getting where he moved a little bit and he gets a little anxious because that one that had compassion, that one that cared for him, and that one that carried him. Y'all do know he's half dead, right? He had to get down in there with him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Have there been times God's carried you? I guarantee. Oh, yeah. I don't know what the conversation was. I don't know where at on that he fell among thieves. But, hey, the first thing he met on that was the thief. Then he met him who's known as truth. And then he's carrying him on his ass. And he gets down there and he gets a little anxious, brother. But then he hears these words, when I come again. And he probably ain't able to shout yet. But I bet you when he got to feel a little bit better, Brother Tony, hey, somebody say, hey, there's a rider coming. And he'd go to get excited. He said, it might be him. It might be him. I mean, when somebody talks about him coming again, he'd ought to put a little zip in our step. Hey, remind him what he done for you. Hey, he had compassion on you. He converted you. He saved you. Thank God he convicted you of your sin. He converted you. He had compassion on you. Are y'all listening? He made you, crowned you, made you a king and a priest under our God. He's put you in a local church. He's cared for you every need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I say hallelujah. And in a local church is where your help will be. Outside of it, you'll not find it. Is everybody with me? That's why we got to be in the local church. See, in that local church, in that inn. Inn is a type or a picture of a hotel room. Would y'all say amen there? Amen. That was the then day inn. They still, some of them called roadway inn, roadside inn. Don't look like much to the world, but they's some things in there. And you go into your room, and the bill's been paid. And that makes you want to go hallelujah. But there's a phone on the table, and you can pick it up automatically. It rings the one who's in control. God, have mercy. I say amen. Are y'all listening to this preacher? Woo! And then you're tired, so you sit down on the comforter. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Woo! The Holy Ghost. Hey, I say you lay your head on the pillow of grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, when you first walked in, it might have been sunlight, and there was windows, so you could see everything that he made. But when it gets dark, don't get nervous. There's a light on the wall. Hey, are y'all listening to this preacher? I'm telling you, guess what? In the morning you get up, there's meal on the table. At noon when you're hungry, meal on the table. Because all your needs have been supplied by the Holy Ghost host at the local church inn. There's relief at the inn. Don't cut off your source of relief. Amen. Boy, man, we ain't got time but for one more. Take your Bible, look over. I'd like to stay there for another 30 minutes. Woo! But look at this. Exodus chapter number 4. Hey. Church, why are you turning? Y'all look up here at your preacher. Y'all look at me. Don't worry. There's going to be compensation. Don't worry. Why everybody else, I'm letting ride and I'm walking. Why it's costing the church. Don't worry. When he comes again, he'll pay the bill. I'm just glad he's coming back. Matter of fact, I like it when he just visits once in a while. Woo! I can't stay. Hey, but I just want to drop by for a visit. Thank you, Lord. Hey, I like it when you get to the room sometimes and you think nobody don't know where you're at and nobody don't know how to get in touch with you. I was like that one time, Brother Tony. And guess what? I come in the room and there was a little light bleeping on that phone. I called the desk. I said, hey. They said, yes, can we help you? I said, I got a little light beeping here. They said, somebody left you a message. Hey, I think it's your wife. And she just wanted to let you know that she loves you. I said, great God. Every once in a while, I'll go sit down on the comforter. Think, by the way, if you pull out that desk, there's a Bible in there. Amen. Amen. And I'll get a Bible. Hey, or something, be a message blinking on the phone. It'll just be one of my brothers, one of my fellow preachers, maybe in another room. Or it might be, thank God, a message from home saying, I just want to let you know. Woo! I don't know how I stay so calm. I love you. Amen. Hey, church, there's help at the end. Amen. Second end, look with me quickly. Exodus chapter 4, verse 24. I feel compelled to deal with this one today before we leave. Now, In Exodus chapter 4, the man of God, Moses, has been living for 180 years. And he spent 40 years in Egypt. He spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. And now he's going to spend the next 40 years leading God's people. He spent 40 years learning the ways of Egypt. He spent 40 years learning the ways of the shepherd. And he's going to spend the next 40 years telling the congregation how good it is to be a sheep. Somebody say amen. Somebody hold my mule. Woo! Are y'all listening to this preacher? Hey, great God in heaven and here. He's got a message from the Lord. He saw miracles from the Lord. Y'all remember he took that rod and he said, throw it down. It became a snake. There's a lot in that. I'll just say this briefly and go on. I believe he's wanting to show Moses, hey, there's still a snake in you, but I can still use you if you'll just throw yourself down and let me pick you up. Hey, put me in. Put your life in my hand. There's power on it. Are y'all listening? Thank God he's over and he's got a message. And God showed up in a Christophany or a Theophany. And he spoke to him. The Lord Jesus spoke to him out of that bush. That's what I believe. If you don't believe, don't mess with me. Amen. The Lord spoke to him. And he took off his shoes. Amen. He's been on holy ground. And he's seen miracles. And he's got a message. And the Lord said, hey, here's the message. It's not long. Amen. But it's right. And you tell him, let my people go. Hallelujah. Let him go. And when he got down there, he delivered the message. Did he not say amen? He didn't say, let me go one day. He said, let me go 3 days based on the third day. Woo! Hey, he said, we can't worship God in Egypt. Can't worship God in sin. Pharaoh said, just go a little bit. He said, I don't care if you serve God. Just don't go too far. Don't go crazy. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to serve God like you ought to serve God, you're going to have to go crazy for him. That's what you're going to have to go too far. They said, well, leave your wives back here. If I'm going with God, I'm taking my wife with me. I'm taking my kids with me. I'm taking every donkey with me. Every blessing of God. Hey, let my people go. Woo. Y'all with me? But where are you going to go because of blood? That's how you're going to get out. And you just go down and tell them, let them go. Well, he's nervous. He's wanting to serve God. He gets ready. Evidently tells his wife. Because where we pick up in chapter 4, notice what the Bible says. His wife and his kids go with him. And he's already talked to his father-in-law, Jethro. The Bible says, verse 24, he's already told him in verse 23, he ain't even got to Egypt, and he's already told him that it's going to come by way of deliverance from the, hey, if you don't trust in the blood of the Lamb, your firstborn's going to die. Your first birth is wrong. It's going to have to take a second birth. All the way through the Bible, it's been about the second birth. Say amen. Then he says in verse 24, and it came to pass by the way, in the end. Not in any end, but in the end. That's a definite article. The. It's a definite article in the English language. I mean, there's not another one like it. That's the one I want you in. Is everybody okay? Notice this. There's relief in the end, but there's removal. There's some of us in the church house this morning. Maybe this is why God wanted me to get here before I close this morning. That you've got some stuff hanging on you. And you're going to have to go to the end to get some removal. You're going to have to get some things cut out of your life. You got too much taking precedence over the Lord. I was reading Brother John McNeil. He's an old, great Church of England. Believe it or not, there was some good ones. Amen, preacher. And he wrote this book called Bread to the Full. And I just opened it up one day, and right there staring at me, he said, some of you feel like a zero. You feel like nothing. But if you'll put God in his proper place, because he's always first, right. Then zero has become 10. Amen. You say, I'm double zero. The littler you get, the bigger he gets. You've just become 100.
God, help me. Tell that preacher.
God have mercy. Are y'all, somebody help me. I feel like I could throw this pulpit out there. God ain't looking for somebody big enough to use. He's looking for somebody little enough. Oh, D.L. Moody said, hey, God wants us to get little so he'll get big and God's people will get some help. Am I right? This is what he said. See, when I got down there to that end, then that the Lord met him. You know what you'll find in the end? A meeting with the Lord. Woo! And the Lord's come to do business this morning. The Lord met him. And look, notice what he said. There's a little more people than him there. Are y'all listening to this preacher? There's more people than me here. And there's more people than you here. But when God shows up to meet with you, it'll be like nobody else ain't here. I can promise you that. Hey, are y'all with me? He said, to meet him. Notice this. Did I read this right? The Lord met him and sought to kill him. Y'all listen. Sought to kill him. Brother, I'm wrestling with this for years. And then several years ago it hit me. Here lately it's been, boy, it's been hitting me a lot. See, sometimes at the end, you'll find all that other. Amen. Boy, what a relief it is. What a rest it is. Whew. What refreshments you have. Woo! Amen. Thank God for the other residents in the end. Let me get that right quick. Amen. Thank God for the realization you get in the end. Are y'all with me? Thank God. Pull out that Bible. Flip on that lighter. Y'all listen. But sometimes he's brought you to the end. Cut some stuff out of your life. Moses has disobeyed God. I feel like from what we understand in the scripture, coupled with Exodus 18 verse 2, you'll have to write it down and look it up later. With our text coupled with Exodus 18 verse 2, I feel like Moses' wife Zipporah is kicking against God doing what he wants to do in their lives. And Moses says, we're going on with God. But he's halfway obeying God. He's carrying the message. He's been seeing the miracles. He's a leader. He's a man leading his home. And Zipporah is going to go with him like it, lump it, bump it, or jump it. She's a going. She ain't the head of the house. He is. Preach on, preacher. He's still listening to her. Notice what the Bible says. The Lord met him and sought to kill him. That word there, sought, means to be actively engaged to doing what he can. In other words, he was so disabled that he wasn't able to mind the Lord and circumcise his boy. He should have done it before he left. He should have done it at 8 days old when the blood clots naturally. You have to look it up. It's amazing. Amen. 8 days, there was a reason. Amen. There was a reason why he should obey God, because this circumcision showed the world and identified them as God's people. It was a separation thing. Now, on this side of Calvary, we've been circumcised in the heart, and there ought to be a change in our life. There ought to be some birthmarks as a result of our second, are y'all listening to the preacher? Hey, man, but right here, he ain't minded God. He's down there, amen, and he's in a mess. He's in a place of removal. And when we got saved by the grace of God and started, thank God, we wanted to mind God. We wanted to serve God. We wanted to surrender to God. And we like that verse over in Hebrews 12:1, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, hey, so we can run with patience the race that is set before us. And we got burdens we laid down, and we've got sin we laid down, and every burden ain't a sin, but all sin is a burden. And man, we've got ankle weights because we won't let go of sin. We've got a cart rope pulling behind us, and we pull it in when nobody ain't looking and pit our sin. Every one of us in here today has got some kind of sin problem. Quit acting like you all right. And you come to the end to get some stuff removed out of your life. He come to the point where he said, Lord, look, Moses, have you forgot me getting you out of a basket? Have you forgot me protecting you? In 80 years, I've called you to lead my people out. But see, the offense justified or warranted the reaction. He wasn't just any one of God's people. He was God's man. And the man of God, the preacher of God, y'all look up here at your preacher. They are held to a higher standard. You might as well say amen. They're expected to have a different walk. They're supposed to be walking as a Christian, Galatians 5:16. They're supposed to be talking as a Christian, amen, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. They're supposed to be hearing like a Christian, Matthew chapter number 13. God has given us to hear to hear, and we come into the church, and in spite of the obstacles of our own flesh, of maybe females, amen, in our life, or foes in our life, in spite of the obstacles, amen, in spite of the obliteration, in spite of us, not doing what God told us to do, and we've missed out on blessings. When it comes time to come to the church or the end, and God speaks to our heart and he meets with us, it's time to cut some things, to remove some things, so we can go on and serve the Lord. And here's what happened. He's so disabled, according to our text. Looks like he's so disabled, Brother Tony. Verse number 24. When he got to that inn, the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Here it is, and check this part out here in verse 24. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, "Surely a bloody husband art thou to me." So he let him go. The Lord let Moses go. Then she said, "A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision." She's already said that once. The Lord's let up the pressure on him. He's got up ready to serve God again, and she hits him again. Now, what you going to do when people hit you? I mean, when they're close. What are you going to do? It's going to depend on how much you love the Lord or who you put first in your life. Notice our text before Jacob comes. There's a sanctifying for the calling of God. There is a near calamity. The Lord said to kill him. The cause was he neglected to circumcise his son. The chastening was God sought to kill him. But here's what I love. Moses probably was going to do it and couldn't do it. I mean, he literally could not do it. And what did the wife do? She eventually, here's what we ought to do. When God says what you're doing in your life is killing you, it's hindering you, it's killing your testimony, it's killing your walk, it's killing your talk, it's going to physically, emotionally, y'all listen to this preacher, it is going to destroy you. I know you're my son and I know you're my daughter, but what you're doing is going to tear your life apart. And eventually, you know what she did? She minded God. I know she did it begrudgingly, but thank God she minded God. And I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to just go ahead and obey God. It is so serious about obeying God. Obeying God is so necessary. We dealt with Hebrews 10:25 down in the young people's classroom today. And we wrote a list of 10 reasons why you thought it'd be okay to miss church. And man, they had some good ones. I mean, they had some good ones. And none of them said some of the things that I hear all the time. I thought, my God, hallelujah. Church, I'm saying this. As the manner of some is, I don't care if the whole world does. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Amen. So much the less as you see the day coming. Just, you know, hit and miss a little bit. No, that ain't what it says. So much the more as you see the day approaching. What comes about by coming to church? Well, we get some relief. We get some removal. But what else we get? Thank God. We get rejoicing. We get rejuvenation. We get refreshed. How? Well, from the exhortation of preaching, from the exhortation of singing, from the exhortation of testifying. You know what helps? He said, but exhort one another. And so much. How do you exhort? By showing up. Somebody say amen. Here's what happened. Notice this. Zipporah took a stone. This is what happened. It needed to happen. There was a neglecting of the circumcision, but it needed to be a circumcising. And here's the thing that blew my mind, brother. Of all the things that could have took place, here is what made me blow my mind. In Exodus chapter 18 and verse number 2, evidently at this point, Zipporah gets sent back to the house. Because in Exodus chapter 18, verse number 2, she shows up again with her daddy, Jethro. Evidently, this was a parting of ways. See, there was a problem because she wasn't willing. She didn't have the same zeal to serve God as her husband did. She didn't have the same joy to serve God as her husband did. And so God evidently put it on Moses' heart, sent her back to the house because she's not brought back on the scene until after they come out of Egypt and Jethro shows up. Are y'all listening to this preacher? Here's what I'm saying. They cut the foreskin of the son off. That sounds like a minuscule thing. But it was so important that God said, I'm going to chasten you till I see it. And the chastening was so strong, it almost weakened him to where he couldn't do it. His wife did it. She is mad about it. Called him a bloody husband. She didn't say, you're a blessed husband. Thank God you minded God. Hallelujah. No, she called him a bloody husband. She threw the knife down. She did it in anger. She did it with a smart aleck attitude. Y'all listen to this preacher? It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing when the man of the house, amen, is trying to lead the home in the right way and the wife is trying to cut his legs out from under. But at the same time, it's a dangerous thing when the wife's got to be the leader of the home and the man ain't godly enough to do it. Somebody say amen right there. I'm telling you, it ain't God's will. God wants us to obey him. And what God does, he lets us come to church to find relief, to find rest, to find refreshment, to find rejoicing, but also to find removal. And sometimes some things need cut out of our life. It's going to cause an infection in our life later on down the road. It's going to be a problem on down the road. We better go ahead and because this is an identification mark. This is saying that we're sanctified and set apart to serve God. And there's some things in our life that other people can see. And it's a sanctifying mark. And don't act like it's my standards. It's the Bible standards. Say amen. You got to come to church to get some things removed. I thank God for rebuking. I thank God for some removal. I thank God for being at church. I'm telling you what, I had a young preacher preach the other day at Bible college. I got rid of some things. Amen. I mean, he ain't been preaching long. God don't have to have somebody been preaching 70 years. Woo! Well, he's younger than me, old smart Ellie. Why don't you hush? Bible said don't let no man despise your youth. Hey, I'll tell you this. I come to the end, and there's a host in charge of the end. And I can tell you that Holy Ghost don't lie. He knows what we need before we ever ask it. Amen. Hallelujah. I come in sometimes and there's mints on my pillow. I come in sometimes and there's baskets of blessings. I went in my study this morning and Emmanuel Baptist Church, Frankie Taylor in Spartanburg, Roebuck, South Carolina. Every year he sends me a Christmas bag. Man, I got it. If y'all hungry, we'll break here. We'll go eat and study. We'll come back up and I'll give you them other two. We won't even have to come back tonight. Are y'all listening? At the end, the church, God's got some stuff for us. But you're going to have to come in wanting it. I'll say this in closing. Jacob, you come. I was up at Marriott in Charlotte, North Carolina. On mobilizations with the military, still pastoring the church. That's unheard of. They let me come home every week. Matter of fact, gave me Fridays off sometimes. Let me get off at 5 o'clock. Now, granted, Iraq was our nighttime. We was a base command back here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Buck in. Gas was $4 a gallon. We didn't save a dime. Made all kinds of money because we had to drive back and forth. Wednesday night, let me off early Wednesday. Make good money. But the hotel that they put us up in, we had to eat. There's so many things we had to do. But we never did cost us. In fact, Brother Tony, we got to do some extra things that we never got to do. At that time, I never took my kids anywhere. They didn't know what an amusement park, what is that? Every day when they got done with homeschool, she'd take them over there and they'd just keep riding, never get off. I'm talking about boys had a time. I'm talking about gave me a brand new TV in my hotel room. gave us computers, fed us every morning, every night. The army put us up in an apartment, brother, had two stories. Me and Mama had our own little bedroom. Kids had a bedroom and had a wall bed that come out of there. I mean, couch. Nice. You know what, brother? Never did cost me a dime. And I look back on that and say, how in the world did I do that? It was because every need was supplied at the inn I was staying in. The whole inn was so blessed that the army was there, they give us a party about every Friday. When we left, they gave us all the shrimp we could eat. I'm talking about set the table. Y'all listen to me. I never paid a dime. Woo! Every need supplied. Preacher, that cow's messing y'all up. New cow. Y'all don't like them TVs? New TVs. They didn't care. Their job was to take care of us because the bill was being paid by somebody far off. Are y'all listening to this preacher? Best thing that we can do is come on down here at the end and get whatever we need. There's some help at the end. Let's all stand, heads bowed, and eyes closed.